Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids where the content of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
Welcome to your tribe.
Yo, as part of this Ramadan's The Can Gets Fit movement, we got a little something extra for you. As part of this Ramadan's The Can Gets Fit movement, we got a little something for y'all. This year, we're moving with Decathlon. If you don't know them, they're that giant megastore with over 5,000 different type of products across 7,000 different type of sports. Yep, those guys. All you got to do is whisper Dukan to any of the staff when you visit the store. Or if you're shopping online, you could also use our discount code DUKAN10 to get 10% off. For more information, check out the episode description and you'll find all the details you'll need under Decathlon.
Welcome to your tribe.
You don't listen to the
mom. She's busy.
She doesn't want to know where she can shut the for kids if you're in a mall or if you're in a
maqam. Let's go.
We started, by the way. I want to tackle this subject. Inti, as a mom, you don't want to know where is the best shattaf in town?
In my car, when we go to, you know, the whole time to listen to a podcast, Baby Shark is playing.
Ma fi waqt
podcast.
Listen.
بعد بيبي شارك في الباكرة كيف أسكت عيالي؟
Baby Shark is everywhere.
How do I get my
But kids? Maybe my voice is soothing enough.
For babies? That is totally not gonna happen.
Are you sure?
That is the craziest, wild.
I will try and I will film it.
I'm gonna
post it.
Wait.
Akawi's voice turns baby crazy.
I'm gonna make him read. I'm gonna make you read a children's book. Basic book.
We had that idea ages ago.
Muhammad Akawi reads. People.
Okay.
Hush, little baby.
No, please don't.
Already, we're like.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum. Auntie Reem. Amin Murad. Inti maana liyom. Ammo Oti. Muhammad Akawi. How's everyone doing?
Rich and chilling.
Amal, I know the last time we've had you here was, 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
Yeah, sure. How many time flies?
Was it 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was three years ago.
I think it was 3 years ago.
I think Noura was like 3 years ago. Noura was like 1, 2 years old.
You know, when you become a mom, you just forget track of time and you just like, you don't say 2019. How old was Noura? One?
By month. Sure, 1 year old. You have to say like, she's 18 months plus. Like, you have to mention the month she's born at. You can't just say 1 year. That's how moms are. I can't do that. Like, my brain is processing like how old my daughter is.
But thank you for joining us again on this Ramadan edition with Decathlon, our lovely partners. So, and you know, it comes to sport. We're like, you know what? We know someone that is a champion warrior, one of the winners of government games.
Stuff. Yes.
Sarahatan.
The one only. Wow, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, bravo. Well done. I was so happy to be there for this. I managed to come down at least for the first day.
Yeah, OT went by himself.
No.
Where
were you?
Where was I?
No, we were there.
We went down. I couldn't make it. Sorry.
And we had whey protein ice cream, which is probably one of my new favorite things.
So,
yeah. So OT went for you and the free samples.
I didn't know it was there.
He did.
It's the colorful ice cream?
Is the blue one.
The whey protein ice cream?
Okay.
Feels had whey ice cream. And it was that blue flavor. That swirly spirulina blue flavor.
It looked so cool.
It was really good.
I didn't taste it because
you're
I was
competing.
Yeah.
And to take a moment to try the ice cream.
I will. Tomorrow. Today, today, I'd be iftar. I'm planning out when I have ice cream. That's so sad, like as a mom. Just
while listening to Baby Shark.
Ice cream time.
While listening to Baby Shark.
And you could take Noura in them and tell them this is the same protein that Baby Shark has.
And then, Baby Shark's more for Hamad. Noura's like,
she's older now.
Now she's cool. Like, I want to see how they make, I don't know, like sand. Like, what? Like, you know, the colored sand.
Oh, that's pretty cool, Sarah. Hey, I remember we used to do that as kids. Now I don't know how to do it, but I would love to do that again.
But I missed our activities when we were kids. Like, we had a lot of things to experiment with. Now it's like killer slime. Like, everything has a slime.
That's true.
Kit, and it's a mess, and it smells weird,
and it's
sticky, and it sticks to everything, and you're like, lala. Mama, let's not buy anything right now. Wallah, but I miss it. Like, we had a lot of, I don't know, what are the things you remember from our childhood that we used to like?
Counter-Strike.
Wow, that's your team.
He went straight for that. Yeah, he went straight for that.
Used to play assault in Italy. They call it
violence.
You skipped way ahead.
Hey, like I used to play Gumban. I don't know if you guys remember
Gumban. Yeah, of course. Yeah. The boomerang.
So yeah.
I got you. Don't worry.
Explain to our audience okay. What the game is.
It's Worm. Gumba is the new version of Worms. Sorry. It was Worms.
Yes.
But it was online.
That's the OG version.
It was, so Worm was never available online.
You're playing, you know, I think, was it 5 against 5 or was it 4 against 4?
Yeah, something like that.
Anyways, there were like different options. But basically, you choose your… armor?
Yeah.
Or you choose
you choose your avatar.
Your avatar.
Not necessarily.
Is it the boomerang? Is it the rocket guy? Is it the one multi-laser?
Galat. Okay, avatar is your look.
Listen.
Okay, as a character.
Here we go.
The armor or like what you're going to fight in is not your avatar.
So what's just clothing. What's the character? So the boomerang
avatar.
Guy.
A boomerang guy is so, not wait, the character. You have like Adi bridal costume. That's your avatar.
That's the costume of your character or avatar. Because then you make money in the game and then you get the golden
armor. Fine, so to interrupt this, what is the Akawi version of a Reem Spleen?
Well, there isn't
but
one.
But it's not an Reem Spleen. This is facts. This is facts. Reem doesn't say facts. This is stuff that Reem comes up with. I say facts.
First of all, I need to defend myself. In my honor, they're facts. Everything I say is facts, but they're just connected together in a special way. That's all. I'm not lying.
It's just the way our brain works.
You know? It's different than you.
Akawi's like 1 plus 1 equals 2. But if like… 3 minus…
Yeah, so this bridal gown avatar that you're in.
You're kidding. But I made money off Gumball, by the way. We used to sell accounts. You know
that
what
is very sketchy, bro.
You're into this business
while you were like, what, 12?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
You were hustling.
One would hope that your children are going to be as entrepreneurial as Akawi was.
I didn't…
You forgot that people used to just want to buy that full account that had all the armors of Kilshay.
I will tell you the complete truth. And I very
You bought those accounts.
I'm gonna be ashamed, but I remember we had like a group of girls. Like if we know a guy has like a lot of, and the girl's like, "Hi, can I play with you?" And you know how many manak you get him to send you all this stuff.
Game recognizes game.
I'm glad we have that.
Is that gonna be part of the highlight?
That's just how things work. You know, back in the day, we didn't even know each other's names. I think we have to mention
what was
this.
What was your nickname?
I remember, but I don't want to say
it
online.
Calm down.
Show exclusive.
My nickname was Sabicha.
Huh?
Ceviche?
Really?
If anyone got hustled by ceviche and gumball back in the day, you know, we got it.
Wow.
But ceviche. It was so funny. Like, if you come to think about it, back, like,
that's
we didn't,
that
we couldn't mention our names, right? Like,
right.
There's no, not even like Emel Murad, Emel. Like, my first name, no one knew it. We just played as characters and like, we didn't even have like MSN to talk to one another in terms of like, we don't add random people on MSN, right?
Fuck, we don't.
So, surprisingly. I don't know about a guy's life back in the day,
we wouldn't add randos on MSN.
I never had
MSN.
No. I feel like you're the kind of people who had like weird invites with people you didn't know and you added every person in that invite.
Yeah, of course.
No.
If we didn't go to school together, I don't know you.
And
this is the funny thing because I went to an English first school. That's how I differentiated. Everybody I spoke to in English were from school. All my friends that I spoke to in Arabic, Malfarid.
I love them, MSN. You could know exactly how everyone felt by their names, by their nicknames. Because they used to write like song lyrics.
Right.
You know, they're like, baby, turn around. That's his whole That's his whole name, bro. Okay, before we go back to sports, I need to know this. What was everyone's, what's it called? Email. It's only these four. Yeah, we go and then we get into sports.
I'll start.
It was what goes up underscore must come down at hotmail.com.
I don't remember mine.
Everyone remembers it.
Politically, to be politically correct, I cannot say my email, to be honest.
I have a feeling I can't either, but I'm racking my brain. I can't remember it.
I swear to God.
I'm so sorry.
Just to see that this is the only halal person here, because I didn't do anything bad with my email, so I can say it out loud.
I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to say what mine was, but truthfully, I cannot remember it. I will remember it in the middle of the show.
Whoever remembers the middle of the show, just go around. Now, let's go back to the topic of the show.
And while we're here,
tell us… Government games, take us through everything.
Wallah, It was a journey. So I have to explain right from the get-go that I've wanted to compete in government games like since year one. So it's been like 4 years in the making. Year one, they had no F3 team and I didn't work in government. I already resigned from... I used to work in DEWA, which is the Bioelectricity and Water Authority. So I resigned and then suddenly we have this amazing competition where government entities are competing. I'm like, right, great.
Okay. They waited for you to quit.
Just for a little bit of background, government games in the UAE is a massive like ninja warrior competition that began initially between government entities, but then in I think it was year one where it was open to the whole community. And you don't know what the obstacle course looks like until the day, until you get one trial or whatever. And this thing is amazing. The build, the anticipation. So Amal,
the award if you win.
If you win, yes. But the point is, Amal, you were in government office, so you could technically compete, but then you resigned. Yes. So you technically could not compete.
I technically, but what was interesting is that like I was chosen to be in the MC for the first year.
Right.
So I was part of it, but wasn't part of it. So like, I'm like talking about the games and I'm cheering for the different teams. But in my head, I was like, I wish I was competing with you
guys. Yeah.
Do you not get to say that as an MC?
I don't think so. Like, I'm trying to be a little serious, telling people the scores.
Oh, yeah. Strategy. I would have let everybody know how I feel.
Oh, gosh. So it was nerve-wracking, to be honest. Like, so I was the MC. I think they got me in because I was an expert in the sport. And I was like, maybe the only, to be honest. Not even the expert. I was the only, Emirati in the field. So I could like be more critical about what strategies people are taking during the game. So I understood the sport as a whole. And then second year comes along and they started an F3 team. So F3, which is Faza's team, which is Sheikh Hamdan bin Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to challenge the other governmental entities by having his own team and like making them kind of know what the caliber is, to push them to work a little bit harder and not just, you know.
I felt the course itself is a challenge.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think
if you're not
year,
fit, you cannot.
There's no way you're going to make it through the first round of this course if you are unfit. Yeah, it's
this is
not
why
Dukan possible.
Will never have a team.
No, that would be so cool. Speak for yourself, okay?
Yo,
me and OT are
team,
killing
bro.
It.
I'm going to change the team.
I'm going to compete in government games.
They make it look so easy, too. Like, the people that compete in that sometimes, they make it look so... Like, watching Emma perform, bro, I was seeing, like, flips and dives and all kinds of things going down.
She
made it look so easy. And I'm like, I could do that. And then the next day, I tried to do a couple of things in the gym. Like, oh... It's a different kind of workout.
it is a different like I always tell people this. It's like the things like parkour, sports like parkour. It's a result of being fit. Like you have to work on strength and conditioning separately.
Yeah.
In order to do things like parkour. Like if someone comes to me at the gym and is like, I just want to do parkour. I'm like, no. I need to make sure your knees are strong.
Right.
Your back is strong. Are you able to take impact? Is your ankle mobile enough so that you don't hurt yourself if you land weirdly? So it's like there are so many things that you have to build as a base before you take up certain sports.
Fair.
And I feel like people underestimate that. I'm glad government games came out because like when I first started parkour, if I go to an interview, I hate saying this, but like people are so demeaning when it comes to my sport.
Parkour is considered like play.
Yeah, like a child's sport.
Like an activity. But if you've ever tried it once, it is so difficult as a sport technically.
Yeah.
But then creatively, it fires up neurons in your brain that I just don't think other sports do. You have to build pathways through nothing. Like
you
through everything. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So very tough.
Or sometimes you just take the stairs.
Can we use parkour? Like, well, like,
I took a couple of parkour lessons. I'm like, bro, tamma la shufi. Like there's stairs. Okay, why should I like jump off the scene?
But worst case from scenario. Well, I saw a video. Well, it was so nice. There was a parkour athlete.
Me going down the stairs.
There was a fire in a building and he was able to save someone because he could get on top of the building
First of all,
stairs.
I believe this.
Well, I wish he's my neighbor. Because I was telling my other neighbor, next time there's a fire, you come to my house first, you take a couple of shoes, and you go down. You don't need to leave.
Of course, bro.
If I were you, I'd throw them out the balcony and get down and hope they're there.
It's like timing. Oh, hope they're there. Gone.
Yeah, exactly. You're just asking. You're asking to get robbed.
to the point of Parkour as a sport, like your post yesterday was very interesting. I think it was yesterday. You put up on Instagram about like comparing parkour to like the Ninja Warrior stuff, right?
Yes.
Because I get it. When you already develop a challenge, like a construct in front of me that I have to get from point A to point B and like figure all that out, that's already designed like in the Ninja Warrior structure. Like I know, okay, XYZ muscles, this is the way to go through this. Like you already can plan something in your head, right? Whereas to your point, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that with parkour, you actually got to create a route that doesn't exist.
Yes.
That's fair. That's true. Fair.
So like, I don't know if you saw, actually the winners of the community category, the first two teams were actually parkour athletes.
Yeah.
Just saying. But it's because we find different ways of overcoming obstacles, right? Mm. So it's like, let's say you have obstacles right in front of you. Sure, the goal is to be efficient and to go through it very quickly. But I will find maybe 10 ways of overcoming this in different ways. And I'm going to… sometimes I time myself and see which way is the fastest way. With OCR, it's much different. Like you said, like things are more set up and it's more rigid in the sense where you… it's grip, it's hanging. Like I don't see swinging that much in OCR. Maybe Ninja a little bit more. Ninja Warrior is also different than OCR.
What's OCR stand for?
OCR is obstacle course racing. If you know races like Spartan, Tough Mudder, the majority of the race is mostly running. So endurance is one of the prerequisites. And when I talk about endurance, I'm talking about marathon running more than it is about sprinting. With things like parkour, there's short bursts. Like the route can take you 2 minutes. And that's like a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
While someone is doing like a 3 kilometer between every obstacle, which is mostly what Spartan does, where there's a lot of running. So a lot of the people who are in OCR are runners. And they work on things like grip. Like you'll see a lot of their workouts is like working on nunchucks, working on monkey bars. So they're very specific in what obstacles are going to are going to appear in the race itself. With parkour, you don't know. Like I could take you outside, and this is something that I've experienced myself. Like we are a group of athletes. We go outside sometimes when the weather is nice, and we start training outdoors. And you see the people who have done OCR and the people who have done even Ninja are like, okay, but what do I do? Like what? So with parkour, you're kind of like seeing what path you can take. What can you experiment with? And I think that's like so much fun. So much fun because like you can literally you use the city as your playground.
Yeah.
Right. And you're not limited with how you can train. And I think that's like the biggest reason why I started parkour to begin with, where I just wanted to train everywhere and anywhere.
And how helpful was that through government games? Like when you like you said, like we mentioned that in government games, you don't know the route until the day of or the day before. So did you have kind of a different moment than everyone else? Because you're like, everyone's like, then you're like, but I
yeah,
can do this,
yeah.
I can do that. Okay.
Or like, but again, we were very, so there are rules, right? There are some things that you couldn't do. And I feel like if I could do certain things, I would have gone through it faster. So, but again, this is why there's a difference between like OCR and like parkour.
Yeah.
So like for me, there, for example, one of the challenges was like you had this weird pulley thing and you needed a rope to kind of take you across where someone's hanging on the rope and it takes you from one point to the other. So one person's doing this pulley thing while the other one's hanging and you're taking that person to the other side of the obstacle. Like if it were for me, I'm just going to swing across. Like I'm just going to hold the rope.
That's true.
And use my legs to swing across. But that wasn't allowed during the competition, but easily would have saved me like 40 seconds. Like
probably more.
Probably
but
more.
Also, shout out to the girl that was on your team that was spinning that pole.
Yeah, we were stepping on top of each other.
Yeah, by the way, you were the only team that did that.
Yeah,
we're short.
Yes, but brilliant. No.
Used each other's backs as a stepping ladder to reach it.
Yeah,
it's fairly high.
Yeah.
But it was genius what you did.
No, well done. And the girl that was
I think it was Shad.
There was a point where she was just like one-handed.
Cranking
this thing. I'm like, yo, that's a workout and a half. Like,
and again, teamwork, right? I think what differentiates like parkour is more of a solo sport, but when it comes to like government games, you're a group. Like you can work together, which makes it easier, to be honest. Because like as a short girl, there are a lot of things I can't do versus someone who's taller than me. Like I don't know if you know Coach Giselle in Gravity, where I coach. Basically. he's really tall. Like, yeah. I would say 180 plus. And, like, he reaches things, like, walking. And I have to, like, fully jump to reach.
Yeah.
So I feel like you find different ways to use your body. And you kind of… You appreciate your strengths. Even
you
though…
Get there. You get there. But one of the things that a lot of people don't know is… You actually had made the team once.
Yes.
But then you made the team, but then yes. You couldn't compete. Yeah. That was year three?
That was last year.
Yeah, last year. So what?
So going back to the journey of Olympic Games, what happened was that first year…
Which kid are we blaming, Ella?
Wow.
Which kid are we blaming?
Well, technically, both.
Technically, both.
Well, second year, I was just postpartum.
Uh-huh.
Third year, I was training with… Alhamdulillah, I was… picked to be on F3 team and I made it. We were training. It was like 3 days before the competition, but you know, COVID happened and they had to postpone it.
Mm.
I think it was postponed like 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah.
And during that time, I got pregnant. Okay, so when I got pregnant with Hamid, my second baby, it changed a lot of things, let me just say. I remember I got the call back, be like, are you excited? They announced the new date. And I was like, I cannot be there. And I had to tell people I was pregnant during that time. It shifts your priorities for sure.
100%.
But it's still in the back of my head that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I still wanted to. That's why when I gave birth, my ultimate goal was just training for government games. Like, I had less than a year to train. I think I had 9-10 months till the tryouts. And then I had 11 months till the games. So postpartum, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was a lot. A lot for you.
That is very
demanding. Overwhelming. Very overwhelming. But I'm glad I had something to push me.
Yeah, definitely.
It's always good to have something, especially something as big as government games. It wasn't like a small goal that you wanted. You wanted government games, even not just government games, the F3 team in government games and also winning government games. And so I think you hit 3-on-3, Habibti.
Bravo. You did it. And
bravo.
We're so proud.
Bravo.
Yeah, we're so proud of you.
But also, question. I mean, you're talking about training for triads and then training for government games itself. Yes. That's almost like 20, 21 months worth of prep.
Well, yeah. Like, if you come to
own
think
it,
about
own it. 100%. Yeah. Don't be humble about it. What you did is amazing.
It's a lot. Like, you have to think… When you get the call to be on His Highness's team, you have to… They want you to be ready.
Yeah.
It's like you're not coming in and be like, I'll try out and get stronger while I'm trying out. No, you're ready.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be there.
You show up already.
You show up
ready.
Like, every day is a test, if you think about it. Like, you have to prove yourself. And to be honest, it's an honor to be on the team to begin with. So, like, going into it and you're not fit, I think, is like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Right? That's a tough place for you to be, isn't it?
So, like… Preparing mentally to be challenged in different ways and to also like show up every day is a lot.
Yeah.
I think emotionally I was…
And as a mom.
Yeah, you went through a lot.
I was.
You did go through a lot.
And as a mom with two very young kids. Like…
Babies.
Yeah. But this is the cornerstone. I think every athlete, every person… every person who decides they're going to move their body has to face this… basis of sports psychology. The mindset of fear, the mindset of anxiety, the champion's mindset that you have to grow into, which is, I belong here. Somehow I'm going to find my way and I'm going to belong here. And I watched you go through… Like, you could write a textbook on sports psychology listening to Amal go through the things that she went through. It's like one thing after the other, go back and then rebound
such an
and go
empath.
Back and
like,
rebound.
There are points where I think you were… It's like you were training with her.
Guys, I won government games.
Leah sent me voice notes and I'm crying in the middle of the night listening to her voice notes.
And listen, let me tell you. I won government games.
Tell us your journey. Tell us your journey in government games.
For me, it was important for you to be there because… a lot of the girls on the team are younger than you. That's the first thing. Yeah. And it was important for me to for generations of women… I didn't grow up in the Arab part of me didn't see other moms compete. Like, did you see your mom compete like in sport?
No, like even when you get married, they're like, "Khalas, why are you into this?
That's
like, you're a housewife.
Yeah,
like you have responsibilities." And I'm just like, "Why? Why can't I be an athlete and a mom and a wife?"
Exactly. And so that it was so important for me to just let you know. That this was for Noura. For Noura to be able to see her mom do what she's built to do.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? No, I know. But it matters. It matters to me. It matters to women because at the end of the day, we were not allowed to be in the game generations before us. Like one or two generations before us, there was no women.
Just one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, literally one generation.
Right? So for us, not only when I went to see you, by the time, like we always said, 1 foot across the starting line and you're a champion already. Yeah. Because Nora gets to see you do this thing we never really saw our moms do or whatever, which is compete in sport at a world-class level.
Yeah.
You're on His Highness's team. You were ready before you were ready. But, you know.
But and getting there is
the journey.
And Michelle, you'd cry, then Reem would cry, then she'd call me crying. And I'm like, yo, what's happening?
He said, enough of this.
enough with the emotion.
It was emotional. It
the
was
moment
very
that
emotional.
Was truly very emotional that I've witnessed. I mean, Reem crying on the phone, I've learned to deal with.
Tuesday night, but, bro. Tuesday night.
Exactly.
To Taco Tuesday, but, I'm crying.
But the one that was truly emotional at government games was seeing your dad carrying Noura on his back and Noura's holding a sign with your name on it.
That's so cute.
With your name on it.
That was such a moment.
It was. It was.
I feel like the biggest reason why I'm so proud of myself is because of that.
Yeah.
Like my daughter, I always made a rule. Like I wouldn't force my daughter into something she doesn't like. I know like in a lot of cases, us growing up, we were pushed into things we didn't like. Like, yeah. I don't want to be the kind of mom who's like, I'm into sports, so you're into sports.
Right.
Like, you know? But like, I wanted to show her like that you can, if you work hard, you can reach wherever you want to. And I feel like even for her, like she took a second. And I remember one of the games I fell and then she's like…
Right.
And then I got back up and she's like, oh, mama's okay. Like, it's okay to fall. It's okay to fail.
Yeah.
It's okay. But as long as you… So I feel like it sparked something in her as well. Hamed's too young. Like, Hamed was there, was like, where am I? Like, you know? Like,
he's not even a year old.
There are life lessons in her just witnessing
just
you go through
there.
This process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
And also, like, what part of it is what people don't realize is the game itself is constructed for you to lose.
Yeah.
So there were a few of the rounds where you guys didn't make time or, you know, you just couldn't. It was too challenging. But that doesn't mean you lost. In fact, you still won the whole thing. And I think there's a deep life lesson in that somewhere to see, like, okay, maybe this round you didn't make it, but you have to show up to the next one and the next one and the next one.
And it's also the strategy behind sports. It's not just being fit. There's also a mental kind of strategic way when you come into competitions like that and understanding when to exert full power, timing, who's going to do what. It's not just, yellow, we're all fit, let's do it.
No. Well, you know, I see that when Kewi plays paddle, by the way. You are so strategic. After you do the, you know, what is it? The stretches. Kewi does this for the
I want to see
you. You know how LeBron has a routine with the chalk before a game? Kewi has his own thing and paddle, you
it's
know?
Like a lot of stretching. There's a lot of things.
I want to see.
You know what? You know what? My body's my temple. I've been stretching before. You know, I have bands, you know, some knee work.
It's called old age.
But
the oldest person on the F3 team just spoke.
Oh,
well,
it's called.
Ramallah.
Sorry. But when Akawi's, because as you may or may not know, Akawi is actually a formidable paddle player. Like, not
I've
a joke.
Intimidating on
his like, but the way that he calculates the geometry of everything, and I see him look at the players and his calculate. No, I mean this in a really great way because it's not what I do.
Yeah.
Akawi calculates from the moment the game begins and I see that happening and I recognize that strategy because you do lose in like I not lose the
you
whole
do
game
lose.
You lose no, miserably first of all. I want to let you know
I
that
I did not think that's where this was going.
Lana, you're a loser
whatsoever.
In the game. You're a loser in the game sometimes,
but a winner
but
in
a
life.
Winner in life.
How did it go?
Now, Akawi, I haven't been to any of your games to be honest, but I see when you post online I'm like, wait, I don't know this echo.
Right?
You know, like you're in your zone. Right?
It's a completely different person. It's like the New Zealand rugby team. They have the haka.
Hey,
I love the haka before a game. It's almost the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
he's intimidating
his opponents.
But I feel like that's what's interesting. Like, I think people don't realize I've been a different person when I'm an athlete as well. Like sometimes I laugh when I panic, but it's just part of my mechanism. But I feel like getting into the mindset of being an athlete, like 90% of the time when you're training, you're not comfortable.
Yes. You're completely uncomfortable.
Like maybe the 10% is like you're having a good day, but that's one in
30
days.
And you hit that endorphin hit in the middle of the workout.
Nothing, zero.
It's a lot. Like to get, and then going on game day, just hyping. What do you tell yourself?
Death stares, people that
what
are
do you tell yourself?
Yeah. Huh?
What do you tell yourself when you're there? Like, let's say you're like in a rough spot. What are the things like affirmations that you tell yourself?
I feel like he says it's go time or something like the ninja. What did the Ninja Turtles say? That's what Akawi says.
Wow. Because I know some people like switch off, right? Some people switch off completely.
Yeah.
Like I feel I'm still a person that keeps like saying something over, like for me, I'm like, inshallah khair, inshallah khair, or whatever. But like some people, dead silent in their head. Like,
I know, well, it's a mix. It's either dead silence or I give myself.
You've worked for this. For
I give myself crap in terms of like.
Crap?
Don't let. Even if you're losing or if it's not an ideal kind of match, I go like, there's no point in quitting now because
you're there.
So negative reinforcement.
You're saying
don't quit.
Don't quit. Because everything you're doing is
pragmatic.
Even if it's just the game, you need to take it seriously.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
I mean, for me, it's not with competitions, but like I'm very every last rep matters kind of person with my training. And if you ever see me in the gym, I look like a crazy person because I talk to myself a lot, especially towards the end of my rep.
You're just like, you know? Can do this.
Yeah. So it's easy. I say that a lot. And
light work.
I love that.
It's easy, light work. You hear me saying those a lot. Or then if I'm planning the reps, like I'd walk away from it, especially when like I'm doing plyometrics or things that are,
you need to go away and come back.
Right? So as I'm walking around, like you'll see me talking to myself, like I walk up, I'm like, okay, it's easy, it's just the dynamics, so the structure, and this is how it's gonna go, and I gotta like pivot my legs this way. So like I'm mentally
visualizing
the process of completing a certain movement, right? And that's how it usually takes, like that's the narrative in my head,
the process.
And I have to,
I'm not that nice to myself.
No. And I'm very vocal.
Like, that's not very interesting.
You guys are, but you're all this training you've been doing,
or coaching, or waking up and doing it, just don't do it and go enjoy and play your dream. Just go have a friendly match with him. Why are you doing all this?
First of all, let me tell you about my technique. This is my technique. I wake up, I warm up a little bit. I'm not as well as I should. Like, not an act, can we warm up? I begin crying from the first rep till the last tear leaves at the last rep, okay?
And then you trash talk.
I tell myself, I don't want to say the thing.
Get over yourself.
Like, just do it. And then sometimes
Then she sees that vein in her trap and she remembers why she's doing it.
I have a war cry. I go, huh? Yeah, you'll hear it in the gym.
And you'll hear it all over her Instagram.
And now I'm
going to
notice it.
When
I feel anxiety in my chest, I say that and it seems to just go away as a distraction. But yeah, for the most part, we're all uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. Yeah. And then suddenly, endorphins. And you feel better.
Okay. Yo, we're going to take a quick break so Akawi can chill. Reem can update our Shataf report. And I'm going to get some water. And we shall be right back. See, we believe that your fitness journey and building better habits ain't got to end with the holy month. So we partner with One Beat to give you the special discount. They're offering all our listeners a 15% discount across all class packages. Simply, all you got to do is visit the website, onebeatdxb.com, select your favorite package, 5, 10, 15, or 20 classes, and put in our promo code DGF with One Beat. DGF for Dukan Gets Fit with WITH, the number 1, and BEAT on checkout to get to enjoy a 15% discount. Check out the classes. Get your health in check and have a great time, y'all. For more information, check out the episode description and you will find all the details you need under One Beat DXB.
Welcome to your tribe.
About everything.
Once you hit that shower,
but you're all three of you are very technical in general.
So are you.
Which I appreciate. Like, I feel like when I see you in your zones, even when you're training, like I can see what's happening in your brain. Like, which this is the way I feel like we should trade. Like, I feel like you need to be mindful. Like, you can't just do things because someone's telling you to do things.
So there's a few things I've learned in this journey over the past few years. First off is that starting is the hardest thing. And I get it. Everybody says that. But no, like, what makes it hard is there's a sense of intimidation. Like, you're afraid of the pain that you're going to put your body through, but also you're afraid of looking like an idiot in the gym, but also you're afraid of like, would I not be able to commit to this? So like, there's layers of fear and anxiety and like discomfort and insecurities that come to life.
Yeah.
Also, you don't, especially if you're starting when Like in my case, I went from being very fit in high school to then becoming really overweight and not happy in the way clothes fit. So then there's that discomfort as well. I'm like, oh, I don't want to deal with this and be that guy in the gym. And like, I feel like I look super awkward. Right.
Oh, you mean like when you were overweight, you didn't want that. Like
but our generation, there was a big gap. We were all fit in high school. We were all into sports. And then nothing.
Completely.
Like we graduated, nothing. And then we become adults. We're like, oh, that. Why don't we go back?
But see, I blame that on gaming.
Yeah, I don't blame that. We didn't because play
when we hit university, there was that whole kind of computers, gaming, games…
Games one more time because it's gaming.
Like, video games.
More,
just gaming. Yeah.
Game.
PlayStation had its rise. I mean, there was a lot of things that just made us sit down.
No, like, I think it was much more for women. I think we were dealing with social constructs. Like now you're dealing with, okay, where do I fit in the world? And unfortunately, sport is not always an option. You have to carve your way in sport, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm grateful. I'm grateful women like you have done it. I'm grateful that I, you know, the one thing, if you ever want to excel in sports, just say, don't let Akawi be better than you. In your head, just be like,
if that helps, say that.
That's how I won government games.
That's how she won government games. Do you have her bank account to send her half of your…
No, 1 million!
I did it for the sport. I did it for the sport. For the nation.
Oh my God. Like you said, it's a layering that you have to unpeel. And
completely. By yourself. And like, it's more than anything else, I think any form of fitness or exercise, you're constantly facing yourself and facing your insecurities every single day. And it's just a constant reminder of that. That's what you're there to do.
Yeah.
There's a point, I think, for a lot of people when you're beginning, it's like, oh, I'm here to lose weight or I'm here to gain muscle. So it's a physical target. And then halfway through, it stops being… Well, it doesn't stop, but like there's a point where the mental part takes over.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm having a horrible time. I need to go sweat it out. Or I need to go run.
Yeah.
Or I need to go punch a bag. Or I need to just pull as heavy as I can.
I just need to feel…
Something physical that distracts my mental and emotional…
Yeah.
You know, you…
But I don't necessarily… Let me tell you, like, I don't necessarily agree with us using sports as an outlet in terms of, like, I'm feeling bad and I need to go train. Or, like, because that's how a lot of us started.
Yeah.
And I feel like it can create an unhealthy correlation with fitness to some extent.
And it also doesn't help you work out properly.
Fair. No. Because, like, I hear it a lot and I am one of those people. Like, sometimes when I'm having a really… You know, I just want to go for a run to clear my mind. Like, but again, like when it comes to your health, you are not always going to feel good. And sometimes you're going to feel great and you still have to put in the work.
And you still got
to
do it.
Like, I know a lot of people are like, I feel fit. But you're continuously needing to work on yourself, even if
it doesn't end.
But
that's why, like, I was grateful for one of the trainers I had. Because, like, it's like, look, if we're going to work together, you need to understand, after a few months, I'm going to let go. You got to make this a life thing for you.
You got to commit.
It's for the rest of your life. Yeah. It's not just for today. And that kind of commitment, it took a minute to sink in because it wasn't about fitting in certain clothes anymore or specific things. It's about, you know…
How do I make this work
I make this work every day if I need to?
Yeah. Right? But there is something…
And age into it.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. And the idea of aging into it, stop becoming about how heavy or how strong necessarily I am doing things. But as a matter of… Am I doing it correctly? Is my form correct? Is my body movement correct? Because at 70, and if you still want to be weight training, you cannot be messing about with form. And that became sort of very critical for me. And mobility.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. One of the things that I think we don't say, and I wish people would say it more often, I know that we are for athletes. Like, we are people who tend to lean more athletic. But when I'm at the gym, and I know I can speak for us in this circumstance, I am more proud and more impressed when I see somebody who is overweight, who doesn't feel so well, and they show up at the gym that day and you can see it. I'm more impressed at them than whoever is lifting, who I've seen at the gym the whole time,
every day.
Sometimes when we're at the gym, we don't even see each other anymore because we're just focused on whatever our own goals are. But when someone walks in and you know it's their first or second day at the gym and it's terrifying,
it's overwhelming.
You know that feeling, right? I am more proud of that person and more impressed of that person than I am of myself and the people who I see all the time. So if you're intimidated, don't be. We're more impressed that you showed up because we know, like,
you know,
really,
how much we've work been it there. Takes.
I'll yeah. be more impressed if they show up 7 days.
Exactly, yeah. you know, and
like,
we
at 7 days.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't say you're impressed because they showed up on the first day because they might go, you know what,
true.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to come back.
That's
They'll
true.
Come back
but
after.
Exactly, but it's still
not 7 days. But at least, like, be consistent. I'll be proud of them when they're consistent.
Even at my peak, I didn't train 7 days a week.
7 days. I mean, like, consistency.
What I was looking for is consistency. But for me, sometimes it's that first one, that first step in the gym, because it's really intimidating.
But consistency is just as hard as the first step.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember
absolutely.
I was,
it's harder.
I was reading one of the athletes that I was following also gave birth. And I remember she wrote something and it really resonated with me. And she said, I was putting in the work since day one. So she went to the gym for 4 or 5 days a week, basically, for a good 10 months. She didn't see a difference in her body until, like, maybe the 7th, 8th month, being postpartum and all that. And when she saw, that's when people started recognizing her work. And she's like, no, I've been putting in the work. But just because my body changed doesn't mean I haven't been putting in the work. Like, it takes a long time to see, like, basically the result of your training, especially as a mom, especially as someone who hasn't trained before. Even as an athlete, it takes so long for your body to adapt because you've built a base and you have to continuously challenge your body to see a difference. So I feel like consistency is very underestimated and people don't realize, like, how long it takes. So I remember she was having a breakdown and the person who told her, oh, you've been putting in the work. She's like, yes, I have. But this is the first time someone gave me. But it's because we keep waiting for someone to tell us you've been putting in the work. No, you put in the work regardless.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's very hard because I feel like at one point when you don't get that external validation, you give up.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
We keep waiting for that. Am I doing enough? Am I seeing results? It's like, this is for life. Like, you're not waiting to fit into a wedding dress. You want this to be your forever.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we need to remind people of that. When someone comes to me at the gym and they want me to be a personal trainer, for example, I rarely accept someone wanting to do a 1 month with me. Like, I tell them, like, sure, I can teach you the basics of form and I can help you on your way, but that's not, you're not going to benefit with, like, to be honest, and like in that month, you might skip 2 days for personal reasons or whatever it is. But I'm like, if you really want to see results, let's commit to like a 6 month plan.
Yeah.
And then we can talk. Like, and it's not like about, a lot of people can't afford it, which makes complete sense. But I tell them, even if you're not with me, you have to commit to a longer period than a freaking month.
100%.
100%. You know, I think, and it's even to us personally, and even people, is that when you talk to someone about their fitness journey or like how they train or what their goals are, everyone goes like, bro, don't worry, I'm my number one critique.
We say that, but what
people need to start doing is that we need to be our number one fans as well, because in order to that, like, mental kind of thing, because even when we hit milestones, whether if it's how you jump, you don't reward yourself. You just go, okay, what's my next one? Because I can do better, which goes back to critiquing. So we don't
allow ourselves to be our
rewards at certain milestones. Like, for me, it was like, oh, when I was going through the weight loss, I'm like 30% body fat. I'm getting the fat croissant. Like, there are these fat croissants that I was craving.
Oh.
So, like, it doesn't matter what the milestone is. Just, like, something that feels, like, symbolic.
Yeah.
You know, that I've just hit a certain milestone. But then things like the jumps, like, I really, I'm like, you know what? That was dope. I might have something extra today or a lead extra. But for me, I'm a foodie. I love to eat. Yeah. I enjoy good food. So I just relate every milestone to, like,
food.
I'm going to have that. Huh. I'm just going to have a burger tonight.
That's how we got him to start fitness again. It was called the Nando's run.
It was the Nando's run.
Maybe that's why now I associate all milestones with food.
As long as it gets to work, bro.
Everyone has a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone has a thing. Like, I remember one of the girls, she's like, I want to do this and then I'm going to, like, travel. Like, she just wants to give herself that time after she's worked hard to just go and enjoy life, basically. And it's interesting how you say food.
Yeah,
no, like, mine, like, food is your thing. Yeah. I eat regardless, so like,
and for me, it's not like it's bad. No. Because here's the thing: my relationship with junk food is a fun one. Like, it's about fun. I don't, like, for me, junk food, it's always a reminiscent of, like, younger times.
I don't like the word junk food. Like, I agree. Like, I always. The reason why I say that is because, like, now when I have a child, I don't want her. No, I always tell her there is fun food and you're allowed to like fun food.
Fun food is the way to go about it.
Like, saying junk food is like you're telling her, like, you can't expect someone to eat healthy for their entire life. Like,
no, no way.
Healthy is so subjective. Like, if you come to think about it, what is healthy? What are you growing the food in your...
Man, I eat from Uncle Man Osha, 25-hour hotels.
Hala,
every day
everyone
for
wants to come over. We have.
Okay,
let's plug it in.
Like, what is healthy food? Like, all of our fruits are like pumped with so much chemicals, and like, if we come to
it's
think
super
about
subjective.
It, it's
but
super subjective.
You also need to be selective. Yeah, it's not just about eating healthy, but it's like, you know, why
it's
they call
balance.
It junk? It's because like the whole Lenny. If you have a burger from McDonald's. That's a shot in your cholesterol. From the yes, it's
yeah. But if you tell people continuously that they, and I'm telling you from experience, even from the people that I coach, you can't tell them that their whole life they need to think that this is junk food because they will continuously punish themselves. And when they punish themselves, they feel guilty. And when they feel guilty, they binge eat because it's like
it's a toxic cycle.
Fun food is a burger you make at home. It's still a burger. It's still a cheat meal.
Yeah.
And it's still fun. But
junk
is
if
like
from a burger from McDonald's. So
By the way,
okay,
I'm
saying, don't do it every day.
Yeah, don't do it every. But how do you make sure the person doesn't do it every day by giving them that leeway of like, okay, you messed up, but not even messed up. You ate something. Khalas, next day eat better. Like. I think this punishment.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a punishment.
It shouldn't feel like you're a bad person because you ate a burger from McDonald's. Like, I don't know.
And the reason why for me, it's I was saying like it's always going to be super subjective to people.
Yeah.
I think the terminology correct. Maybe we should call it fun food as opposed to junk. I agree with that. But the reason why it's subjective to people is because what they're dealing with. Like, I am. Very prone to high blood pressure and high cholesterol at any point.
And
as
I think
opposed
people
kidney
need
transplant,
to know exactly.
Right? So that is a very specific case. So the way a burger, whether at home or anywhere else, or a whole bowl of fries is going to impact you differently than it will impact myself. Right? So that's how I account for it. Because I know, okay, yo, my results have been great for the past 3 months. And every 3 months I get tested, right? I got to keep an eye on things. So I have to make sure… That in itself,
you're following
my
regimen,
exactly. Yeah. Like, as much as yes, there's an external gratification of vanity. Internally, are my organs
going to handle it?
Yeah, you know, are my kidneys doing well? Is my heart and my lungs and different parts of my body doing well?
Yeah,
right. Am I drinking enough? So, if it ticks all these boxes, yo, we're gonna celebrate tonight. You know,
yeah.
Like it's the same thing.
We gonna eat men. Oh shit.
Yo, you know. So that's how I look at it with my like. With
It's very interesting. I don't know. Yeah. Like, what are your thoughts about food?
Look.
And like your relationship.
Michelle,
with
do
food?
You have a podcast? Or you're good at this?
I do. You should follow Leap on all the podcast platforms. And I'll be discussing this more in detail.
Okay,
thank you for the shout out. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. But I don't know. Food is very tricky for me personally. Like, I am very careful about how I talk about food when it comes to my clients, when it comes to my kids, because we've labeled things good or bad and there's a lot in the gray. And I feel like we don't give enough gray area for fitness, for health, for… No one is black or white. Nobody. No. Nobody in this world is black or white. There's always going to be a gray area. And I think we need to allow the gray area to exist for people to feel like they can be fit.
Yeah.
And without giving up, I think.
Like, I agree.
Basically, this is like my mindset when it comes to these things. The second you have someone, I had a bad day. And then one bad day becomes 10 bad days because she feels bad and she…
It's the spiral of shame and guilt. Once shame and guilt enters the equation, you're sliding downhill and you're sliding fast. Like
very
you
fast.
Don't have brakes, you are going downhill. So I think removing the equation of shame and guilt, and that's something that my trainer Ola did 1, work 000. With me to say, he's like, look… One meal will not change you. 10 meals will change you. So if you had one meal…
It's okay.
He's like, that was yesterday. Forgive yourself. We're moving. And it's a very blunt
approach.
But
that's
approach.
The spiral that you go into. So you start with… you get back home. I had a bad day. You know what? I'm going to reward myself with a fun food meal. Cheat meal, whatever.
It's not
and
reward.
And then you eat it. You wake
like,
up the next morning. You don't wake up early because you're like, I had such a heavy meal yesterday. I'm going to sleep in a bit. And then you're going to wake up like, okay, I slept in. I wasted time. I had junk food. I feel overweight. So it's a spiral of just negativity.
Yeah. But it's shame. It's like, I had a bad meal yesterday. Ugh, what's the point of eating healthy today? Like, this mindset is the worst.
Or the mindset of like, yeah, one more day, what's it going to do?
I
had burgers yesterday. Yeah, I look at five pizza.
Hey,
Allah is
it's a bad
what's kharbana kharbana in English, Shereem?
You know what? It's just broke.
Broke. It's a broke mindset. Should we coin that? The broke mindset.
Let's do it.
You know.
The founders are Reem and Callie from the Takash Show.
Broke.
All righty. So, how about that, Callie? Reem, do we have a Shataf report?
No, I said no.
Where's the Shataf report?
I said, I've been in
Ramadan, but Ramadan
doesn't use the bathroom in Ramadan.
Specifically, Ramadan is when people need Shataf reports to know where they can and cannot go.
I haven't been out in the public. I've been working and I've been chilling. So I will be back next week with a Shataf report. But on that note, that's it. There's no notes. I've been drowning in
Shataf. Awkward without the Shataf report.
What do you mean it's so awkward?
Such a sad ending.
Listen.
Okay, where is your Shataf report?
It's not my. It's not part of my.
No, it's called support. It's called support.
Don't worry. Everyone knows. I do not use public toilets.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to document every time Akawi walks into a public toilet.
Tell me, no. Number one or number two? It's always number one. It's always number one.
So strange. Anyways,
well, yeah, with that,
on that note,
we don't have a Shataf report, but we will see you next week.
We are proud of you. We love you. We're happy that you're a part of the family.
I appreciate you.
You are more than welcome to always come and celebrate all your achievements because we know there's much more to come.
Inshallah.
And we can't wait to see you next year.
Yeah.
Next year, let's go.
The next award, the next prize, the next golden medal will be here for all of it.
On to Reem, more fibers so we can use more public bathrooms so we can get Shataf reports.
I got you. Don't worry.
OT, stay fit and beautiful.
I love
you. Al-afiyah, wa ma'a
salama.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.